So I'll be taking the second part of what Dr. Aoun has discussed first, which is basically the role of steroids in community-acquired pneumonia. Well, just for disclaimer, I do have no conflict of interest to declare with any steroid-producing pharma industry. This is a quote from Sir William Osler in 1901. Pneumonia, of course, he did not know to differentiate community-acquired pneumonia versus other types of pneumonia. So it's the most widespread and fatal of all acute disease, and it remains the most common cause of death from an infectious disease standpoint. So really, nothing much changed over the past 100 years or so. The use of steroids in the management of pneumonia is still a controversial issue. Physicians in daily clinical practice often use steroids in patients with pneumonia, per se, for different reasons, and it's all over the world. In 2012, for example, there was a report of 6,650 patients who had contracted H1N1 documented, in the registries, of whom 2,500 were admitted to the intensive care. They were critically ill. And it was noted that about 38% had received steroid during their course of treatment. It's interesting to know that WHO had clearly stated and discouraged the use of steroid in such patients. So, of course, this is a viral pneumonia, and this is not the topic that I want to discuss, but just to illustrate really how much we love steroids, even when we are asked not to use them. There are no data to support the well-tolerated use of systemic steroid as a standard of care in pneumonia, neither in mid to moderate and severe, nor in bacterial and viral infection. Now, this statement is written in 2012, not long ago. At the time, there was really limited data to look at this issue, and everything we looked at up till that date was almost a negative outcome. Now, of course, things have changed, and we have new data we're going to discuss, otherwise I wouldn't be standing here. But up till that time, this was the practice, and we were always doing it opposite to any data we know. One of the landmarks at the time was actually in 2011, and that was one of the really very first structured studies done to look at the role of steroids. And like most studies at the time, especially dealing with such a delicate issue, there were little patients included. And the study was to look at the effect of corticosteroids in the clinical course of the community-acquired pneumonia. And that was a randomized and controlled trial. Now, the outcomes looked at were physiologic and clinical. For the physiologic outcome, there was an interesting trend to see that, the PA to F ratio, which is the urinary response to oxygenation, had significantly improved in the population that had used steroids, at least in the early phases of the treatment. At the same time, even the level of the CRP, which is, as we know, have been used, as an inflammatory marker in community-acquired pneumonia and other forms of infection, also showed dramatic response compared to the arm treated with the steroids. So we're starting to see some trend into a response, but we're not sure really how it translates clinically into the patient care. What were the limitations? There was no significant clinical outcome benefit. There was no survival benefit. There were no length of stay benefit. As we said, the population was a small number of patients. And really, the choice of the steroid treatment was very arbitrary. They received 200 milligrams of solimedrol methylprednisolone on day one, and then the course was tapered over 10 days. This was not really based on any data or any, a prior study showing benefit. It was just chosen by the authors as a starting point. And as I said, up till that study, really, there was nothing to tell us how to go. Despite of that, this study was an eye-opener, because now we started structuring studies and looking at this very seriously. Now, what do you usually do? In this study, which really looked retrospectively from 1997 to 2008, which at the time, as I say, this was prior to the statement saying that there was no data to support it, which was issued in 2012. They reviewed one of the medical centers. They reviewed, actually, their data over, as I said, the past 10 years, which included 3,000 patients with pneumonia. Not much received systemic steroids, about 8% of them. Around 266 patients had received steroids. The mean daily dose was 45 milligrams. Patients were older. They had more comorbidity, mostly respiratory failure or cardiac disease. They had higher severity and pneumonia severity index, and they had received prior antibiotics. So we tend to notice that the sicker patient received the steroids. And there was significant predictor of corticosteroid administration was COPD. And if I want to look back at the data, I think the mere fact is how many times we all admit patient and we're not sure if they have pneumonia with COPD exacerbation associated with it or not, so we are to give steroids. So that was a confounding variable, but again, that was a retrospective data collection. However, when they looked and analyzed the data, the TIS therapy did not influence mortality or clinical stability. By contrast, steroid administration was associated with prolonged length of stay. But again, it's worth noticing that the sicker patient got the steroid. Nevertheless, the steroid group did not show an increased mortality. As you know, people would expect if you are giving steroid as an immunosuppressant dose to an infected patient. Then you move to a big two landmark studies, which I would like to discuss before we, you know, proceed to look at where we are today. The first one was the effect of corticosteroids on treatment failure among hospitalized patients with severe community-acquired pneumonia and high inflammatory response. So here it's interesting to see two endpoints which are clear. So the recruitment was people who have high inflammatory response. So they included patients who have a higher severity index, patients who are sicker. And how did they define sicker? Is by having a CRP more than 150. The second thing is, what was the outcome? So the outcome here was clinical outcome, not just looking at an inflammatory marker response, though they would look at it, but really it's what we call failure to respond to treatment, i.e., after you initiate treatment, do things go well or they were worsening in the clinical condition? If you note, there was 519 patients screened, but at the end, each arm had about 50 to 60 patients. So there were a lot of patients who were, you know, failed to pass the screening phase. Now, if you look at this, we see that the failure to respond to treatment was very superimposed in the first few days of therapy, up to day 4. And then afterwards, there was a big change. And the delayed failure of response to treatment was actually more pronounced in the placebo group, but not as much in the arm treated with steroids. So there was a benefit, clinical benefit, for the first time declared or mentioned in a study. Now, what did we find out? As we said, failure to treatment change. There was a 13% failure to treatment in the steroid arm versus 31% in the placebo arm, which was statistically significant. There was no change in terms of mortality, and in terms of hyperglycemia as well, there was no increased side effect profile compared to the steroid arm. As you know, we all expect that, you know, the steroid treatment arm will have more hyperglycemia and more complication of steroid therapy, but nothing really was mentioned. However, the study had limitation. Despite its very positive role and positioning in this question to answer, it has limitations. So what were the limitations? They included only severe community-acquired pneumonia. As we said, they only included, you know, patients who had a CRP more than 150. The treatment was a short steroid course, again, not based on real data, and the dose given was about 0.5 milligram per kilo Q12 of solimedrol, so about 1 milligram daily per kilo of solimedrol. So also it was variable according to body weight. It wasn't a standard dosing, and it was an IV dosing, so for in-hospital patients as well. There was no clarification about the adrenal function of the patients. So we did not know who of these patients had actually adrenal failure, whether relative or complete, and then the role of steroid was, as you know, like the stress dose effect, but not actually for the community acquired pneumonia benefit. So that remained a confounding variable, especially that this was given in the sicker patient who you might suspect that their adrenal is going to be partially suppressed. There was no regulation antibiotics used. There was no really looking at when to escalate, when to de-escalate, how to target therapy during this study. The antibiotics were left completely to the discretion of the physician, and there was no any regulation plan put. But it's also important that this was a very long recruiting phase. They recruited patients from 2004 to 2012, so 8 years of recruitment, because they had very strict recruitment, you know, criteria. and inclusion criteria. But with that 8-year span, the treatment of community-acquired pneumonia has kind of evolved. The technology in the ICU changed. The technology in hospital changed. So the early recruited patient had different care than the people recruited at the end of the study. And again, remember, the N was very small, about 60 in each arm. So that really challenged the validity of the data. Nevertheless, it's the first time we see a clinical change, clinical outcome change. Now let's look at the second landmark, which came in the same year, 2015, last year. You see, this is really a newly evolving field, which looked at adjunct prednisone therapy for patients with CAP, which is a multi-center, double-blind, randomized, placebo control. Now, in this study, we had more population included. We had a little bit more lax inclusion criteria in terms of severity mostly. And we had about 300 plus in each arm. This study also looked at clinical endpoint more than the first one. So we looked at, you know, stability, recovery post-infection, survival, and tried to see if that could be powered enough or change would be detectable. Probability of instability. I like these studies always to take the negative question. Okay, so probability of instability was actually more in the placebo group. So the patient with the prednisone group had an earlier positive response to treatment. So they would do better earlier. That's really what this means. And if you look at the numbers here, we see more significant outcome detected, likely because of the large number of the study. So clinical stability was achieved faster with the steroid arm, 3 days versus 4.4 days, which is statistically significant. And, you know, people would say that 1.4 days, give and take, is no big deal, but it is a big deal on the large scale in terms of patient perspective and in terms of, you know, total healthcare bill. Discharge from hospital to 6 versus 7 days. Use of IV antibiotics was 4 compared to 5 days. All of these were statistically significant. However, in this study, we noticed that hyperglycemia was more of an issue. And there was, as would we expect earlier, to have, you know, more hyperglycemia in the steroid group. And here the hyperglycemia they mentioned is not just having a higher sugar, but having more patients who have to go on insulin therapy in the hospital, of course. Now, what were the strengths of the study? How did we think that this study is good? First, it was a large population study. As we said, we have like 350 patients in each arm. There was an oral fixed dose of prednisone, which is 50 milligrams daily, was given across the board, and not only for 5 days, for 7 days, so a bit longer course. And this could be compatible, you know, to be taken, you know, for the community-acquired pneumonia who do not get admitted. However, the restriction here, let me go back one moment, and another actually strength of the study was that it was not restricted to the severe community-acquired pneumonia. We had patients who had moderate or mild pneumonia. As long as they are admitted, they would qualify to be recruited. But if I go back to the issue of the prednisone, though it was a 50 oral dosing of prednisone, which we could say that could be given at home, this study had a limitation of not including actually outpatient. They only included inpatients. Of course, we can argue that this is, you know, one of the first studies, structured and large, and you need to control factors, and it's harder to control, you know, patients who are at home, but that nevertheless is the limitation. It was not powered enough to look at mortality, so there was no mortality benefit. There was an earlier response detected, early discharge detected, less use of antibiotics, but there was no mortality benefit detected. Another limitation, because, you know, this was a double-blind study, like any study we need to see, but it was an issue that a lot of the data, or sometimes at least, the data was unblinded, even, you know, unintentionally, when the patient developed hyperglycemia or put on IV insulin. You would expect that this patient is on steroids. So that would affect, you know, the blinding of the study in some of the patients because the outcome is detectable, easily measured, and you have to react to it. Now, having seen these two large arms data, let's look, if we review the data, what will be really a cluster of information, whether we include the smaller studies and more. So what about mortality benefit? Okay, As you would have expected so far, there was no study single-handed, which were well-structured, and if aggregate, would show a mortality benefit. What about the length of stay? We see that there is a trend, and a very positive trend, with significant, that the length of stay is improved, actually, if you treat patients with steroids for the community-acquired pneumonia. What about the ICU length of stay? There was no substantial data so far in aggregate to support. But as you see, this only includes 3 studies. Most of the reviews looked at papers. The largest you could include was 10 papers, really. So it's really a limited pool of data. But there was no benefit in terms of ICU length of stay, at least according to this meta-analysis. What about the role of superinfection? Here you would suspect that, you know, the population with steroids would be, you know, prone to have more superinfection. That's a negative side effect or adverse event of the therapy, but this also was not observed. Hyperglycemia, it was not statistically significant if you aggregate the data opposite to the last study we said, but it was strongly a positive trend towards being an issue. Upper GI bleed, which is another thing you would be concerned about, and that actually was not also statistically significant in any of the studies published, individually or in aggregate. What is more interesting, that there was another meta-analysis and review done, which looked actually at mortality per se. They really powered their review. I read like 2 pages to understand how the statisticians played the data to really empower the review to look at the mortality per se, and I didn't understand them, so I'm sorry. So if somebody can know, I'll be grateful if they can share with me how they figured it out. But apparently it seemed very smart. So they looked at that, and actually there was a trend, if you look at, you know, the sicker patient compared to the aggregate, to have actually a benefit from being on steroid versus being not on steroid. But again, there was no statistical significance that you could build on or decide that this is what we should do. But there was a clear trend that there may be a benefit, especially in the sicker patient. Now, in short, if you look at the data, we have 13 controlled trials so far, which involved about 2,005 patients on steroids in community-acquired pneumonia. The positive outcome was having really a shorter time to clinical stability or a quicker recovery time and shorter length of stay. Adverse events in general were uncommon. However, hyperglycemia was more noted. And this data would indicate the possibility that the steroid use may become standard of care in patients with CAP. So far, it is not a recommendation, but we expect that the data will be more validating. There are 2 very large trials in the process, one of whom is called Adrenal, and hopefully things will translate into more clearer data to discuss. Thank you, and I'm ready to ask any questions.